It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, warns raw milk can carry harmful germs that may pose serious health risks. We explore the consumption of raw dairy, why it's a hot-button issue in states like Wisconsin, where dairy is big business. Join this discussion on raw dairy anytime. Your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Food science professor John Lucey directs the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research, stays with us. And Rob Rollier is a senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University, managing dairy extension programs in New York State, specializing in cheese and artisan cheese production and safety. Rob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, let's start with, you know, you being involved with helping dairy farmers understand regulations and food safety in your state. How are New York laws different from other states' laws regarding raw dairy?
Well, that's a great question. I deal a lot with raw milk farmers and raw milk cheese producers in New York State. The New York regulations allow raw milk sales on the farms. And they allow raw milk production, obviously, if it's aged 60 days, which is the federal limit. But I also deal with issues when people have outbreaks and things like that, or they have hot hits on their milk or on their cheeses, which we'll talk about probably later. But I help them, you know, try to understand what the risks are. I try to help them understand what they need to do to make sure that they don't have problems. And our state actually does inspections on these farms, and they're issued a license. So they're inspected every 90 days at the farm level. So we have state inspectors go into the farm and make sure that they're maintaining cleanliness and those types of things. And then they also take samples of the milk and they test them for pathogens. They have a specific pathogen screen. They're testing for four different pathogens currently. And that's done on a quarterly basis. So, we have about 35 to 40 farms that sell raw milk in New York State currently.
Okay. I'm going to bring in a comment here from Eric in Milwaukee. Got raw milk from a friend to make cheese, and Eric tried it and said it tasted great, but they got Campylobacter, the infection, and Eric missed a week of work and said once the doctors found out what it was, it took one pill to fix. What are some of the symptoms and illnesses that can be caused by consuming raw milk, Rob?
Campylobacter is probably the number one cause of illness from raw milk consumption. It's estimated with a lot of the studies that I've seen, including some that are done at Cornell, they found as much as 70% of raw milk can be contaminated with low levels of Campylobacter. The problem with Campylobacter is it can always have what we call long-term chronic sequelae, which basically amounts to you get sick from Campylobacter, but then your body has a reaction maybe 6 months to a year later, where it's called what they call Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it's basically, it basically paralyzes you. Mm. It can be permanent or it can go away on occasion. And it rarely happens. I mean, maybe 5 to 10% of people that actually get it have that occur, but it's something that can occur. It's just like people can get E. coli from milk, for example. That's another one that generally affects small kids the worst, because once you have E. coli, many of these kids develop hemolytic uremic syndrome and wind up being on dialysis for the rest of their life. So it can be a lifetime event if you get the right disease. Other things that you can get from raw milk consumption include salmonella. You could get strep infections. You can get staph infections, staph toxin poisoning, depending on the level of staph, which is a mastitis organism. So it's naturally found in raw milk. You could get brucellosis, which has kind of gone away, but not totally in that, you know, our herd health regulations have helped eliminate brucellosis and tuberculosis.
And I want to pause right there on brucellosis and bring in John Lucy as well here. John, we heard from Louise in Viroqua called and is curious about cattle brucellosis. Louise grew up on a dairy farm, and someone said, you know, they got Bang's disease, which I understand it's also been called, supposedly from drinking raw milk. And what can you tell us about that?
Well, historically, a large proportion of food-related diseases that were contracted by humans came from the consumption of milk from cows or close contact from cows or cattle. And brucellosis, tuberculosis were part of that. So I think we, as Rob mentioned, you know, we have done a great job here from the cattle side of things. We're trying to eliminate some diseases or reduce the incidence of it, but those are still a risk for contracting them from the consumption of raw milk. We're fortunate that when we look at pasteurization, it's targeted to destroy the most heat-stable pathogen that's present in the milk. So we're always looking at that and saying, what is another potential one out there that could be a risk to us? And let's make sure the heat treatment is killing enough. So I think, you know, overseas, that's still a factor, you know, in some countries because the cattle are in many parts of the world endemic for both brucellosis and tuberculosis.
Rob, you said you've seen a waning of brucellosis. What might be causing that?
Well, the animal herd health regulations that they've put in place across the country really have helped to eliminate that. The other piece of the puzzle was in the early 1900s when pasteurization starting to become widespread. The initial regulations were targeting tuberculosis because that was the organism that we thought at the time, well, they didn't think it was at the time, the most heat resistant that was transmissible from milk to humans. But we've since found Coxiella burnetti as being more heat resistant. So now that's the target organism. So that's another organism that causes Q fever that's transmissible from milk to humans. I gave you a short list of organisms and diseases that can come from drinking raw milk. There's many, many more, but that just gives you an idea.
Rob, we haven't talked about pregnant people. Why should pregnant people absolutely stay away from raw milk products?
Well, that's a huge concern because Listeria is an organism that's found in raw milk as well on occasion. It's also on occasion a mastitis organism that will show up in cows, but they won't really show signs of infection. So it's kind of a low-grade infection of the udder. And if a pregnant woman ingests Listeria, it can actually go through cellular membranes and into the placenta and cause the fetus to get sick. And we all know that it's hard enough coming out into the world being healthy. How would you like to do it being sick at the same time?
We are looking at the risks of raw milk consumption, the debate over raw milk. John Lucy and Rob Rollier. John is director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Rob, senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Lee is here from Madison. Lee, what are you going to bring up?
Hi, thanks for my call. God, we grew up on the farm drinking raw milk. Go up for breakfast and bring milk with us. I don't know why all the problems are today, but there is consumer pasteurizers you can use to pasteurize the milk that are convenient.
Have you used consumer grade pasteurizers, Lee? I think we've lost him. John, can you help us out there on consumer grade pasteurizers? What do you know?
Well, I think there's a lot of, over the years, especially as people started to get more aware of the risks of what could be in raw milk, there was a lot of different devices that people were sold that they could heat or boil their milk for heat treating it rather than drinking it raw. And one of the things that fascinates me is, you know, in Europe, they have vending machines for raw milk. In a place like Italy, I think a number of years ago, they had over 1,000 of these vending machines to allow access for raw milk to the public at various locations. But after some of the diseases that Rob was mentioning, including the hemolytic uric syndrome that children, it's a serious condition for children. They now put stickers on, in Italy, they put stickers in all of those vending machines saying, please boil. And at farms too, it's very typical at farms, they either drink the raw milk as we've been discussing this morning, or as they get more concerned about maybe something being in their milk, that they're boiling it. And it's that's usually a much more higher and aggressive heat treatment than the very short time and temperature that we're talking about from your regular pasteurized jug.
Have an email here from Grant, wants to know, Rob, the regulations about raw milk going into artisan cheese, and is it legal, and what should Grant be watching out for?
Well, the milk going into raw cheese is legal, yes. They've passed the, they're required to do antibiotic testing, which the raw milk farms in New York currently are not. So every dairy plant in the country has to test the truckload that's coming in for antibiotics. Any, they screen for what are called beta lactams, which are the most commonly used antibiotics at the farm level on cattle. So if a truck has positive for antibiotics, they have to dispose of that. They can't use it in a dairy plant. The farms that sell raw milk and that are not testing for antibiotics at all. So you could go to a farm, it could be a very clean farm, and they might have tested a cow or treated a cow with antibiotics, put it in the tank. Now you're going to get parts per million of a beta lactam, for example. The raw milk cheese people are required to test for antibiotics before they put it into their raw milk cheese. There is literature out there that shows that raw milk cheese aged 60 days doesn't always necessarily kill pathogens. And I can tell you from experience and a lot of it that, and even in New York, because raw milk cheese is tested for pathogens on a regular basis by the state, we do find positive hits for Listeria and E. coli.
And in New York, what goes into a farm that gets a state license to sell direct to consumer on the farm? What does that state license entail?
Well, they have to maintain a clean farm, obviously clean to the, you know, and a regulatory standard is the lowest standard possible. So if you have a very clean farm, obviously you're going above and beyond, but there's a minimum cleanliness that they inspect for. They're also going to have to test for pathogens. The state actually does that every quarter, but to start your farm up, you have to test for pathogens. And I think you have to get two tests that are completely negative before they'll issue the permit. And then they have to have a sign, as John alluded to, that says that raw milk doesn't offer the same protection as pasteurization on the farm. And then they basically can start selling milk to the public.
John, do you hear anything there, New York's path with their license?
Well, I think that's pretty typical for a lot of states where they go through some sort of, you know, inspection, testing process. I want to come back to one of the comments that Rob is talking about. The raw milk for cheese, you know, that's what we call a 60-day rule, which means you can't sell it for 60 days, was originally developed from studies that were done on cheddar cheese, which is a very different product from maybe some of the artisan cheeses that might be produced. So any cheese that is high in pH, a soft cheese, for example, that is a much more significant risk to the public than your cheddar cheese. Why? Because there are pathogens that will literally grow while you're storing the cheese. So storing it for 60 days is not any protection at all. In fact, it increases the risk that there's more contamination in it. And when you look at outbreaks from CDC data, a lot of the outbreaks are coming from raw milk cheeses rather than raw milk itself.
John Lucy is a professor of food science, director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Cornell University's Rob Rollier manages dairy extension programs across New York State. Still time to call with your questions about raw dairy. Share your views on this debate, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore raw milk cheeses and what to know about the consuming of unpasteurized dairy. Still time to ask your question. Your call's welcome at 800-642-1234. Rob Rollier is here, Senior Extension Associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University. And we also have UW-Madison Food Science Professor John Lucey, who leads the Center for Dairy Research. They stay with us. John, you have mentioned, brought up the CDC a number of times here. I'm wondering, when you look at that CDC data, do more outbreaks related to raw dairy happen in states where it is legal to sell it?
Yes, that's correct, Kate. The funny thing about it, too, is you look to some of the data, even in states, if you look at over the last 20 years and the studies they've done, even in states where raw milk was illegal, there are outbreaks related to raw milk consumption. So what it means is that not everybody is following the rules, even in states where it's illegal, as we well know. But yes, you are correct. And that's the kind of concerning thing for me as we think about expanding access to raw milk, is that will increase the amount of outbreaks, the number of hospitalizations, and unfortunately, the likelihood of several deaths as well.
Rob Rollier, is there a way to sell and consume raw milk products safely?
Yeah, you can pasteurize it. I mean, there are other methods, but there's nothing that's approved. Like high pressure processing is being worked on to look at what it does to milk, and maybe that's going to be a method of the future, but it's currently not an approved method for pasteurization. You're on a farm, so milk comes from a cow, and the bottom end of the cow is closest to the manure pit, and there's just no way around that. That's just the nature of the beast. And so I'm a person that really advocates pasteurization, because most of the people that get sick from raw milk outbreaks are generally small kids. Matter of fact, the CDC that John's talking about, they did a study in 1998 that encompassed about 20 years, and about over half of those outbreaks, at least one kid that was under five, it's going to vary by the size of the outbreak, obviously, was included in the outbreak. And people say, well, these people that I'm selling milk to are my friends. Well, nobody's your friend when their kid is now sick and it's been attributed back to your product. And that's the scariest part. And the other issue you run into is legality. Is your farm insurance cover you selling a raw milk product? We have some litigation going on in New York, as a matter of fact. One was going to a criminal trial. I don't know how it's turned out, if they went to the grand jury yet or not, but this person made a raw milk cheese and two people across state lines died from it. And it's a federal offense. They were going to take him to federal court and they were going to criminally charge him. So there's that aspect of it too.
I haven't thought about the insurance riders on raw dairy. Let's go to Karen in Galena. Karen, what would you like to bring up?
I'm wondering if salmonella poisoning can have long-term effects on the kidney, the GFR rates, similar to the E. coli that can also be caused by raw milk.
Karen, thank you. Rob, can you field that?
That's a little bit out of my area
of
expertise.
Out of your wheelhouse. Okay.
Yeah, I missed that week of medical school. but it wouldn't surprise me if the answer is yes. Because everybody reacts differently to certain things. And I know Campylobacter is one for sure that can cause long-term issues. Obviously, E. coli, we already know that. But Salmonella, it wouldn't surprise me either. Generally, E. coli is a little bit more aggressive in creating problems in the intestine in terms of damage overall. But Salmonella wouldn't surprise me. John might have more insight on that.
Anything else there, John?
No, I think Rob has covered it well. I think, some of this comes down to two kind of questions for me when we think about all of these topics. One, are there pathogens likely to be present in raw milk? And the answer there is a very definitely yes. We can argue about the percentage of it in there, what types, but very definitely from every study done from New Zealand to Europe to the US, is because of what Rob mentioned, the farms themselves are a reservoir of pathogens, and the cows and cattle themselves are a reservoir. That means they have it in their GI tract and it's in the soil and water. So there's nothing we can ever do to stop farms and cattle having pathogens. It's whether they get into the milk. The second question that comes up for me is, why would we want to take that risk, especially for kids or pregnant women or somebody who has more of a heightened risk? Is there a nutritional benefit from consuming the raw milk? And about 7 reviews have been done over the last 10 or 15 years, and none of them have found any nutritional benefit from consuming raw milk. So I go look at that, and at that point, I'm going like, well, there is the chance that raw milk is in there. Yes, if you grew up on a farm and you're used to drinking raw milk, you're probably a little bit more conditioned to it than the general public. But the fraction of people living on farms now in the US is tiny compared to what it was 20, 30, 50 years ago. So that's the kind of situation that I look at right now.
Very quickly, as we're out of time, Rob, do you see states expanding their policy, making it legal or illegal? Is there movement around the country on this?
Well, there's always movement. I know Missouri's considering it now as well, and there are probably a few other states. A lot of times it'll get into a committee, like an agricultural committee in one of the state houses, and they'll talk about it, they'll pass it. But when it gets to the mainstream, to get to the governor's signature, it falls down. And it's really more a mechanism of you know, the fringe on either side, trying to figure out, you know, well, we want this to pass. So they talk to their congressman, and then the other side says, well, it's a public health issue and we don't want it to pass. And then that's where the fight really starts.
Well, thank you both for bringing clarity on this. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
John Lucey, professor of food science and the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Rob Rollier, senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.